You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Hello, Makers Church. Pastor Shalise here, and I am just so excited to be with you this morning. Whether you're joining us from your living room or your car, or maybe you're out on a walk, it's so good to be able to gather together, even in this season of being apart. And what a crazy season this has been. For those of you who don't know, I actually teach high school English as my full-time job, and so I've been teaching from home and spending a lot more time at home with my husband Drew than we have ever done before. And it's crazy when you're at home a lot how you start to notice things that you wouldn't have noticed, like how weird the layout in our kitchen is or how messy some of our drawers have gotten. I'm so grateful for having a backyard, but now I'm noticing how uneven the sidewalks are in our neighborhood. And it seems like we're learning so many new things in this season that we never really knew before. And while it's been a hard adjustment to be home and to have all of this kind of newness and new routines and new expectations for ourselves, there has been some things that have been pretty exciting. You know, when I was coming up to this season, I'd been in grad school, and I was so looking forward to being done with grad school and finally being able to do all these things that I hadn't been able to do for such a long time. I was looking forward to things like being able to cook again, to bake bread again, to just spend time with our dogs and our chickens, to do gardening and all these things that I just never had any time for. And so the week that I ended grad school was actually the week that everything happened with COVID-19. And so suddenly I find myself with all of this extra time to do all of those things that I hadn't been able to do. And to be honest, at first I was really excited. It felt like this might be an extended vacation, you know, tack on a few weeks to spring break to finally organize the garage and clean the house and do all of those things that we had been wanting to do. But it became pretty apparent pretty quickly that this was not going to be a vacation. In fact, Drew and I actually had to cancel a vacation that we were looking forward to. And know for so many of us, this past season has felt like everything has kind of been upended. Not only have many of us had our daily lives upended and our daily routines, but even greater things like weddings and birthdays and significant events that have been postponed and canceled and families created and babies born in situations that they normally wouldn't be, in unexpected ways, nothing like what we had planned. And I just keep thinking about this idea of what is it going to be like when we get back to normal? Or will there even be a normal like there was before? You know, a few weeks ago, Pastor Mark talked about disruption and how disruption comes in and it changes everything, but really disruption is the only thing that can move us into the future. And I think some of us are incredibly terrified of that future. You know, the unknown, like what is it going to look like? Some of us are really excited. You're excited about this possibility that we could have a new heaven and a new earth and what that could mean for us. But what we do know is that all of us in one way or another have been absolutely disrupted. So what do you do when your life is turned upside down? If you're like my mom, you get busy, you find things to do. I got a picture from my mom the other day because she and my dad have been going on daily hikes. And when they're driving down these country roads out in Pine Valley where they live, my mom was noticing all of these potholes. And so my mom sent us a picture one day, and it was her with a shovel. And she had decided that she was going to fill in these potholes. So my mom spent 5 hours on a backcountry road filling in potholes for the few people who are going to be driving down that road. Because it is so like my mom to just need to find some way to make a better world, some way to like be productive, to be active. And she just thought, you know what, if nobody else is going to fill in these potholes, then I am going to do it. And my mom is an amazing example to us of just taking what you've been given, taking the spaces that you find yourselves in, and doing a little bit to just make it better. But I know that there's so many of us also who feel like your entire life has been uprooted, upended, disrupted to the point of being paralyzed, where you don't know what's going to come and you don't know what is going to happen. And it feels just like everything is crashing down around you. And I think what is so powerful about the scriptures is that scriptures speak to both types of people. The scriptures can be read when you're in a season of joy and productivity and happiness and hope. And the scriptures can be read when you're in seasons of pain and sorrow and loss, and they can still speak to us regardless. And I want to look at a scripture this morning that has really meant something to me, not just in the season of COVID-19, but throughout my life. But there's something powerful about seeing scripture through a new lens. And I think that during this season, that is what we have been given as a church. We've been given an opportunity to look at the words of Jesus and to look at the words of people like David, King David, and to see something that maybe we haven't seen before. And that's what happened to me last week. I was reading Psalm 23. Now, Psalm 23 is a very famous passage of scripture. It is a song of worship, a psalm of David, and it talks about how the Lord is our shepherd. And I want to read this with you this morning. Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, I've read this passage countless times, but one of the main reasons that I love reading the scriptures, and also one of the main reasons I became an English teacher, is because you can read something you've seen 1,000 times and suddenly something new jumps out of the page to you. Some new idea sparks, some new fresh revelation. Maybe it's something that you notice for the first time, or maybe it's something you've noticed before, but because circumstances have changed, it means something different to you. And that's exactly what happened to me this past week. I read this passage, and this is what happened. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And there it was. "He makes me lie down." Now, Drew and I have an adorable 8-month-old corgi puppy named Oli. And Oli is learning right now how to lie down. Now, right away, Oli got sit. She understood, because every time she sits down, she gets a treat. But lying down is something completely different for her. And Drew and I have spent weeks trying to get Oli to lie down and to stay. But what happens is that as soon as Oli lies down, she immediately wants to get back up. And as I've grown frustrated with her not being able to just stay lying down, I realize that in so many of the same ways, I'm just like Oli. Things happen and I pause and I go, I need to break. I need to rest. I need to stop what I'm doing. And so I do, and I sit down. But then maybe I'm more tired or more exhausted than usual, and I think I really actually need to lie down. But as soon as I lie down, I get right back up. I go right back to my busyness, to my productivity, to all the things that I had just left before. But if we want that rest that David is talking about, that rest that refreshes and restores our souls, then I think that we need to learn how to lie down. But what is the difference between sitting down and lying down? See, I think the difference is just our posture towards rest. Sitting down is temporary. It means that we're taking a small, short, quick break, but we're just gonna stand back up and go right back to whatever it was that we're doing before. But lying down indicates that we are on pause. We are taking a break, an extended break, to let go of whatever it was that we are doing. And in many ways and in many examples, we're not going to go back to what we were doing before. I think there's no better time than right now for us to decide during this season, what are the things that God is calling us to lie down? And then what are the things that he's calling us to just sit out for a little bit? Like me for work. I'm only gonna sit out of work for a short time. Homeschooling is not my thing. And my heart breaks for all of you parents who have had to homeschool your children. I am a teacher and homeschooling my students has been incredibly challenging. So as soon as I'm allowed to go back into the classroom, you better believe I'm gonna go back to the classroom. If you're like me, maybe you feel a little disoriented in this time because we like to know what's happening. We like to plan ahead. We like to be in control. And now we're entering into a season where nothing is certain and nothing is guaranteed. And what God is asking us to do is to lay down our desire and our need for control. I think for my family and for us, it's a lot of busyness. My family likes to be productive. We like to always be on the move and always working and always doing things. I was talking to my mom this morning and she said, I just can't stop doing stuff. She's like, I know that I need to rest, but I just like doing things. And I told her, I said, Mom, rest isn't just about not doing things. Rest is about doing the right things. See, this verse in Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. See, after this lying down comes this restoration. And so it doesn't mean that when we're resting, we just stop doing all of the things that we have done in the past. What it means, though, is that we have to start doing the right things. We have to be doing those things that actually restore our soul. For me, a lot of times those are the things that I mentioned earlier, things like cooking or baking or being in my garden or going on walks with my husband with our dogs. See, social distancing has definitely made me slow down. Yes, it is incredibly challenging at times. As an extrovert, I wish that I could be out with my friends. I wish that we could be going to restaurants and hanging out and doing all the things that we love to do. But it's forced me to find new ways to restore my soul. It's forced me in this season of being at home to find new things that are life-giving, to find new ways to love myself, to love my husband, and to grow in these things that we will never get another chance and an opportunity like this. See, I think we have an especially unique opportunity right now to do what we have never done before. And like Pastor Mark talked about, this disruption. See, it's so easy to lose sight of what really matters. It's so easy to get focused on the wrong things. And sometimes it takes an event like this, as difficult and as tragic and as hard as it is to comprehend and understand. What we do know is that we are not in control. And all that we can do is choose how we are going to respond when things like this happen. And so this is what we need to be asking during this time. This is what we need to be praying about and seeking God's face for our families, for our communities, even for us as a church. What do we want to lay down? What are the things that after this season, we are never going to go back to? When all of this comes to an end, where are we going to be left? And I think we are uniquely positioned as a faith community to hold on to what matters most. And I think in this season, we've learned what matters most, and that's people. We've let go of all of our programs. We've let go of our usual way of meeting together, of doing church. But I personally am really excited to reimagine what our future could look like. I think there are some things that we're sitting down from. I personally cannot wait to be back together, to hug you, to greet you, to see you guys, and to be able to worship God together again someday soon. But I think there are other things that we may never do again, things that will change, things that will no longer serve us the way that they used to. And I think that that is incredibly exciting. But what is most important in this season is being able to do what David did in Psalm 23, which is to be able to listen and respond to where God's Spirit is leading you. and maybe you're joining us online and you've never actually known what it's been like to follow Jesus. This idea of Jesus leading you and guiding you is a new idea for you. Or maybe you have been following Jesus, but you've never thought of following Jesus into rest and what that might look like for you. And maybe you're here and you've been following Jesus for a long time, but your life has just been completely upended. You feel out of sorts. You feel like you are surrounded by chaos and the unknown and the uncertainty. And just like scriptures are for all of us, I think Jesus is for all of us in different ways in this season. And so if you've never said yes to following Jesus, I would love it if you would tell us that you are here. Tell us that you want to make that decision to follow Jesus so that we can go on that journey with you. We want to invite you to be a part of our community. Even though we're not gathering together, we're still a community. We're of people who love each other, who love Jesus, and who are committed to doing life together, even if it's 6 feet apart. As we end, I wanted to share with you an ending benediction of sorts. It's my own version of Psalm 23 that I wrote in response to what God was putting on my heart during this season. And it reads like this: God, my shepherd, my leader, my example, my guide through every season. I don't need a thing. You always provide, always show up, always bring me everything at the right time, my great provider. You make me lie down in quiet, in rest, lie down in solitude, in your grace and mercy, lie down in this present moment. You make me lie down. You let me catch my breath. Remember what is most important. Bring life back into focus. Bring life back to my soul. Bring me life. You restore to me what I had lost along the way. Even when I find myself in the darkest valley, overwhelmed, consumed, surrounded on all sides, I am not afraid because you are with me. You watch over me. You protect me. Your guiding spirit comforts me. I can sense you all around, and it makes me feel secure. When I sit at my table surrounded by my enemies, my fear, my doubt, my worry, my insecurity, and shame, you sit right beside me. You remind me I am chosen. You lift my worried head. You give me a purpose and a calling, a reason to get out of bed in the morning, and I am renewed. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life, and I am with you forever. For the rest of my life, I will follow you. You make me lie down. You restore my soul. God, we are so grateful that you are a God of rest, that you are a God of refreshing and restoration, a God of new life and new seasons. God, and no matter where we are at in this present moment, I pray that your peace would be so available to us, that we would be able to access that comfort that you offer, that we would be able to tap into this rest that you lead us to. God, ultimately, I pray for just a refreshing of our souls. Lord, in the midst of the uncertainty of not knowing what lies ahead, I pray that even in that space that there would be rest and renewal and an excitement for the future that is to come, whatever it may be, because we know, God, that you are good and that you have good plans for us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining us. And we can't wait over the next few weeks to continue to get to connect. We love you and hope that you have a great week. Bye.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.